So welcome to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK crew. We're here today to celebrate our 100th episode. We're here to discuss various issues like what we enjoyed most, our best and worst roles, our favourite moments, best NPCs. You get the general idea. Thought it would be a good way to celebrate the 100. We're joined today by Yasmin, who is our DM. She is remote. So hi, Yasmin. Are you with us?
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Yep.
Right. And also Ryan, who plays Ogvar Shawfort.
Hello, everybody.
And Colin Robinson, who plays Kewin de Greymont.
How do?
And we're not joined today by Spencer, who is unwell at the moment, so he can't be with us. So we'll just crack on and have a discussion. So don't expect anything too well-polished, people, but so where does anybody want to start? Has anybody got anything particular that they like best? Favourite episode or anything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were a couple for me. Mainly, at the beginning, there was the one where we were walking through towards our first destination. We got caught in a tremendous rainstorm. Everything was soaked.
On the way out of Gloomrest.
On the way out.
Yeah.
And Kewin decided to light a fire. Now, everything else was soaking wet. And Kewin, as is the law of the role, did a natural 20. So it was everything is soaking wet, and Kewin managed to light a fire. And everyone, and I can remember, Elora popped her head out of her tent, looked and went, huh?
Yeah, that was quite unusual. You would expect something like that from maybe a ranger. You wouldn't expect it from the paladin, though, in a soaking wet,
would you?
No, no. Yeah, that was good. And of course, in the early episodes, Elora threw one of her first nat 20s, actually, but we were being attacked by direwolves at the time. Again, just going out on a trip for I think it was Evett Hallowstrike. Was he the publican, wasn't he? Landlord, the innkeeper of the what was it called?
The Cracked Acorn Inn.
And we were being attacked by direwolves, and it was one of her first nat 20s she threw. It was pretty much one of the first strikes she'd actually taken, and that was like she'd just been dropped to the floor, and that was two instant fails. And I thought, oh my God, she's going to die. You know, episode one, episode two, like that'd have been perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't have a spare rolled up either.
No.
No.
No, I should have them.
No, neither have I.
So, while we're on the subject of gnats, has anybody else got... I've got a couple of gnats that I can think of, like either nat 20s or nat 1s that...
Oh, I've got rid of one, don't worry.
Yeah, I reckon. Go on then. I reckon it's more.
Another one was, it's a bit further on when we met Esther, and we went down to the catacombs.
Oh.
And we were fighting away. I mean, Ogvar was doing well. Kewin was smashing well. Elora was a bit hat, you know, doing well when she actually hit.
She was there.
She distracted, if nothing else. And then she casts a spell.
Oh, yeah. Now that was...
The ray of positivity.
No, it wasn't. It was... it was a Disrupt Undead spell. But what the Disrupt Undead spell does is it casts a ray of positivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And rolled a natural one.
I did.
Which means that...
Another one.
All of a sudden, it bounces off a wall and hits Kewin, making him extremely happy. And so all of a sudden, Kewin starts singing and dancing, smashing skeletons in total glee. And it was just like, yeah.
Has Kewin been that happy since, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
I think he's always that happy.
Kewin's just...
I think that was definitely a high point, wasn't it?
Yeah. The other standout.
No uncle, please.
No uncle.
I was waiting for a
no alcohol reinterpretation. Involved. No alcohol involved in that one either. Because that was quite funny. The spiked drink.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was back at the inn as well, wasn't it?
I'd say for me, probably one of the funniest Nat 20s, again from Qin, would be when we were all trying to sneakily get into the Axum Mansion.
And, no.
You decided just to smother and subdue. ever the pacifist. rolled a nat 20 on trying to hush a guard and ended up, well, almost detaching his head from his shoulder.
Well, to be fair with that roll, it was something ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean, I'm surprised his head was still actually attached.
Yeah, because I'd taken a potion of strength as well.
Yeah.
So not only was I strong, I'd taken a potion to improve my strength.
Yeah.
Then I rolled a nat 20, and yanked him back. And snapping their neck in the process.
Kind of left Roman standing there just, like, in disbelief, really, I think, didn't it? On the balcony. Yeah, that was good. Another nat 20 I can think of was when Qin was fighting in the underground arena at Drenau, and Ogvar threw a nat 20 and he actually caught the great club that came flying out of the ring, because that was a nat 1 that the person with the great club the barbarian had a nat 1, and it just flew out of the hand, didn't it? And Ogvar was like, caught it in the crowd.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
I can't remember if it was a natural, but that flaming lettuce.
Oh,
it was, yes. It was a nat 20. It was definitely a nat 20 on the lettuce. That was that was quite a high point, that was. Yeah, that's it.
We did the Mexican wave. You'd started the Mexican wave.
Oh, the Mexican wave,
Qin got very enthusiastic.
Ogvar going through the window in that one?
Oh, that was...
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that was
in that one. Yeah.
That was a less than a ideal situation to be in.
Yes, well, I think originally you were going into the wall, and then I think the DM thought, well, actually, no, there's a window, yeah. I'm just trying to think what other... Oh, yeah. And, of course, when Laura used her sound lance for the first time in the tunnel.
Oh, you obliterated the rat.
Absolutely obliterated that dire rat, completely redecorated the inside of the tunnel. Yeah. That was really interesting.
Then you've got also, of course, for Ogvar, you've got the extremely large deer that hit him in the nether regions.
Yeah, so that was that.
Yeah, oh yes, sir.
I mean, there's been so many nat 20s and nat 1s, it's difficult to remember them all, but those ones were particularly memorable, weren't they?
That was a nat 1, wasn't it? When you were trying to shoot the deer, you'd gone hunting in the forest.
Yeah.
And it ended up nutting you in the nuts.
Yeah, that was it, yeah. And it came running out of the forest, and we were like...
Oh. I just killed it in one stroke, and you come out saying, oh no, that's not the one. It was a great big,
massive, huge, almost an elk.
Yeah, I believed him. But Qin had got, had got that sorted. Once again,
I weren't going to argue. That's what he says.
the pop-up spit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the pop-up.
Yeah.
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 Nobody. I don't know how many rolls I had there. I couldn't find the correct sticks in a forest. Unbelievable.
And so I'm queuing just because it goes, oh, look, I found a spit.
I don't think we'd have probably still been stuck there now. I think other things that. So other funny bits, really funny bits for me, were like the wafting of the bats from Ogvar with the tea tray when they were flying round Esther's apartment upstairs in the church at Drenau. That was funny, and then of course
that led on to
that. Yes, it did lead on to Qin, like, me handing them over and saying, "Go and do something with these poor bats," and he just threw them.
Well, I mean, it's like Qin has no idea whatsoever what to do with bats. He has not got a familiar or anything
like
that.
Yeah, but he's got healing. He's a paladin. He's supposed to heal shit.
And it's just like, they're bats.
Oh, those poor...
And he just looks at them. He might have had a chance if it was a horse. But he's like, he just looks at them as if to say, well, what am I going to do with these?
Yeah, well, but maybe you threw them down the stairs.
I was down the stairs. I didn't throw them down the stairs. I was down the stairs and I just did go on. And I just landed. Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
That's funny. And the other one, Indra and I, was when Florent turned up and we got Orland and we were emptying the things. Well, Orland was throwing out the things that he was carrying. Yeah. And Florent's underpants came out.
Yeah.
And Ogvar decided that he was going to fire them off the edge of the tower. Funny.
I'm pretty sure his boots went over the tower.
Yeah. Me and Ogvar did a bit of welly wanging as well.
Oh, do you know what? I didn't remember that. Bit.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
The boots
funny.
Went after them. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh,
I'm just trying to think of other.
The other one that sticks in my mind is when we were doing the potpourri type. Cutting the
potpourri. The topiary.
There's Ogvar doing a really, really good job. Kieran's trying his best, right? He's doing okay.
Yeah, that one.
Elora, no. So what does Elora do? She finds a ball and starts throwing it so the animals go mad for the ball.
Hang on a minute. The guy left a ball there, so she just thought... This isn't going well for her, so she was just sat on a bucket at the time, if I remember correctly, having a bit of a sulk, generally.
And you ate half the sandwiches as well.
Oh, well, they were left unattended. They were like, it was open season on the sandwiches, really.
Yeah, she ate the sandwiches and caused absolute mayhem.
Oh, God. Clever moments... Clever moments. There are a couple of those that spring to mind. I liked the way Ogvar wiggled his rope of stone before he set it to stone when we were getting in and out the fountain. That was like really intelligent play. That was. I liked that. That was clever.
Yeah. Well, after the we went into that one basin and we were looking at this candlestick that was attacking him.
He just
put it into
a drawer.
Into a drawer.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
And we both looked at each other. Thought, well, we never thought that.
No, that was a really smart move. That
Ogvar's just got a brain. Just works. Ogvar, right? Just works totally different. Player.
Well, that dice roll completely scuppered the DM because she's got this candlestick, isn't she? And it's like, well, is there a drawer in this this table? And of course, the dice say, yay! So he's like, well, okay, I'll open the drawer, put the candlestick in, shut the drawer. Job done. Brilliant. Love that.
Flabbergasted.
Yeah. It's a shame we couldn't actually run back down the corridor with that bloody tapestry and do the same thing with that. Oh, that thing
was
a nightmare.
Absolute nightmare.
That was an awful thing to battle.
I think up until that point, I think we've collectively, especially Kieran, has had more damage of inanimate objects than...
Animated objects, yeah. Yeah.
You know, then...
Was the tapestry after all before the book?
After.
After the book, yes.
Oh, yes, that was episode 8. I will never forget the Catalogue of Errors, episode 8. Oh. That was brilliant. That was one of my worst castings, that was, because I just cast grease on it, because in my head, it was... On the floor. I don't know why I thought it was on the floor, because it was up in the air.
Yeah, so actually grabbing it, you had to go through the grease to grapple it.
That was...
But we'd spent so long trying to subdue it and not do damage to it.
And in the end.
And in the end, you just... queuing, belting it.
Well, the thing is, we were all hanging on to it, weren't we? It was like, well, you know, you sort of... firing into combat and like, he just wants to leather it, and like three of us to get it down to the floor, me grinding my Cuban heels into it. That was great. I loved that. It was really good.
Like trying to catch a freshly butted chihuahua.
I can't say I've ever tried that, but yeah. Yeah, that was good. And then there was also Ogvar's one shot on the Skursdag witch. Now, I don't know whether that was a 20.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that was the first time I'd used
Hunter's mark.
It's probably about one of the only times that spell's actually worked.
You just need to wait for the next witch to come along now, don't you?
But it's one of them. I mean, like, I know Qin can do damage and that soak in Alora, but the thing is, I've always thought about Ogvar as a character is, he may not be hitting with big numbers, but he hits pretty well every single time.
Well, he took that bloke's finger off.
Oh yeah,
that's true. That. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That was good. Well, that wasn't a nat 20 either, was it? I don't think. But you did. You did get that opportunity attack, but
you had a really high score on it or something like that.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, and the minecart ride, that was, I loved that. That was so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we went down fine. I mean, I was like, yeah. But you had a bit more fun than we did, because I went down with Cutter.
Well, he was brilliant with the braking.
Oh yeah,
he was absolutely brilliant on the corners. Ogvar,
and shoving your arse and what's it in?
Yeah, well, it was a
in
bit
Esther's face.
It was a bit tighter in our cart because there was three of us.
Upsetting
the minecart
and a bat and a raven as well.
Yeah, a bat and a raven.
The minecart was a bit personal, wasn't it? I mean, you had Caddo grabbing his stick and
yeah.
That was just brilliant. Loved it. That was really good. I love the fact that Orland got so annoyed.
And he still hasn't forgiven you.
No, not quite. I'm doing my best to get over that one. And talking of Orland, Orland Ace. I love Orland. And that exchange when we were sat in the inn in Draenor when we met Galor and Caddo. That exchange between Orland and Galor was brilliant.
Yeah,
I love peacock. It. What was it? You look like a peacock.
Yeah.
Love it. That's so good. Yeah, and I mean, there's so many absolutely brilliant moments. I mean, Rowan took a bite out of Ryker when Esther and Ryker had their fight, and Esther had won the duel, and Ryker had flown up.
Yeah.
Or was it him? Or was it him flying down and Rowan going out for the evening? No. It's Ryker going and Rowan arriving, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Took a mouthful out of him, didn't he?
Yeah. But you seem to think that maybe those bats that Kieran had thrown on the floor previously might well have been vampires.
May have been his family.
It may have been like his family, because he
bats in the belfry.
He was very a bit discourteous to Kieran.
So
I wondered, yes.
Funny. Really good. The ferry ride was an interesting one on the way down to Selhoff.
Oh, the water.
Yeah, the water elemental, yeah. But the thing that stood
absolute
out...
Absolute shambles of a mob trying to assist.
It was!
Hit anything.
I was rolling so low.
But I mean, I was doing well. Alora was doing really well with that. Didn't take one point of damage.
You got the biggest thing, one of the biggest things to hit, and they couldn't hit it.
Yeah.
It was just like, huh?
It was those blokes that it sucked up and then just catapulted out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. How about Caddo's whip round on the ferry?
Oh, that was funny.
That was good.
Very good.
But it was when he came back with the collection plate. There was that random eye. I mean, who keeps an eye in their pocket?
Glass eye.
Glass eye.
Not an actual eye. Glass eye.
Yeah. That's just really random. Somebody didn't have any money, but they had a random glass eye. Brilliant. It was good.
Know how expensive glass eyes are?
No, I can't say Alora's ever bought one. I enjoyed my first outing. I don't know if it was episode one or episode, I think it was episode two actually, from memory. The thing with Evett Hallowstrike, where we went to fetch the bottles of whiskey, and he said there were four bottles, and when we got into the actual box there were six. One was smashed and there were five that were fine, so we took it back and Alora pocketed that bottle of whiskey. She cashed that in for 25 gold pieces, which was given to Kewin towards the cost of the healing kit or something. Was it healing kit?
Yeah. Which subsequently has never been used.
No, but then this brings me on to other things, because when you think about the stuff we're walking around with, when I've recently gone back in the last 2 weeks and I've started listening to the pod from episode one, because I thought it might be actually helpful to go back and listen. I suppose you could say it's metering slightly, but I kind of try not to put it into play. But there is stuff in there that comes up that we knew about and is actually in the notes, but I've just forgotten to refer to them. So, like, I spoke to Ryan in the week and I said to him, hang on a minute, you got a, was it Dust of Illusion?
Mm.
What happened to that? And he said, sold that. And Kewin had an oil of vestment, which was a plus one.
I've still got it, but originally it wasn't a plus one.
No, I know, but
it was something like a plus five.
Yeah.
But he has turned around and said, no, you're not having that.
No.
Even though I'd rolled a perfect 100 to get it.
Yeah.
She said, you're not having that. You're too much. You're too tanky as it is. I'm squashing it.
DM's decision, isn't it?
Yeah.
DM's call, that one. Yeah. So, and there's other stuff. It's like, I've got a cloak of resistance. I'm only just starting to remember it now to add it to my rolls. I mean, so many roles I could have added it to.
Yeah.
But you walk around, you get all this stuff, and you walk around with all this stuff.
It's a bit like being under siege in the church, and I forgot that humans are one of Ogvar's favourite enemies and could do extra. They went through a whole siege against a whole bunch of humans, adding no extra damage.
Yeah, I know.
Is that for attack as well?
On the damage rolls.
On the
damage rolls, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, forgot about that completely.
And I mean, we had all that stuff, didn't we? It's like, do you remember the discussion that Allura and Caddo had about and in fact, all of us had it, about use invisibility? You know, we've got was it a scroll of invisibility or something Allura's got? Or was it I think it was a scroll of invisibility or something, which we bought some stuff to do the heist with. And it was a case of, oh no, just cast it on everybody. And Laura was like, no, you know, these are really valuable. You need to save them for when you really need them. If you don't need to cast them, don't cast them. Well, of course, we got found out. We hoof it out the window. We're hoofing it across the lawn. Technically, could have just cast it and gone invisible, you know, invisible, so that we weren't detectable between the house and the fountain. The fact that we weren't caught up was kind of irrelevant, but we didn't know that at the time. We still didn't use it.
No.
So we've got all this stuff that we obtained specifically to do the heist, and I don't think we used any of it, did we? We used the lockpick grease.
Yeah,
lock slip grease. We used that.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of things.
We used the infinite ladder, which we were gifted.
That's a really good item. Yeah, that's cool. Really cool item.
Do you remember when we Kewin got the manacles out?
On the I can't remember what his name was.
Garth. It was Garth.
Yeah, he looks like a weasel.
Yeah. It was Garth, because he said, well, I'll let you out. He said, but you've got to go back and pay Kelsey the tab.
Yeah.
Got to pay the tab. Yeah. Otherwise, I'll come looking for you again.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. That was, I think
he was dragged out of his bed, wasn't he?
I think that was episode 7. Wasn't it Absconders and Atonement or something?
Yeah.
Can't quite. Yeah. But, I mean, the eerie scenes as the Shadowfell crosses Innistrad, we've had a couple of those. The thing with the cart, that was...
Yeah, that was early on, yeah.
That was interesting. That was early on. That was after we'd left Gloomrest.
Yeah, you've got the platinum dagger. And
it's an adamantium.
You've got the ring. Yeah. I'll give you a plus one, and I've got some firewood.
Ideal to stake vampires with. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah,
and then, of course, the other one was when we just got out of the Drunken Mire and we were heading back to the gates of Drenau, and we had that thing with there were soldiers. We could hear soldiers and horses,
cavalry,
couldn't we? Yeah.
All that
That was weird. Yes, still.
And then, of course, you got the when that raven pinched all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I'm climbing that tree. I got all the way to the top of that tree and then the nest fell out and left me up there.
Yeah. Ogvar uses
the
raven to tip it out.
Just that. That was good. Yeah.
Although dodging the fire stones, was it, or something?
I don't know.
Lightning stones, because they were pinched.
Oh, yeah.
Dodging them. If
was it like, was it lightning stones? Was it, wasn't spark. It? Was it a spark stone, was it, that was in there?
Or a moon silver shard.
Oh, it might have been a moon
there
silver
shard. There was a moon silver shard.
That's it.
And I think there were some thunder stones as well, which deafened.
That's
We couldn't hear a bit. Went back to camp deaf as
anything, didn't you?
And then you got the time we went.
Well, that broke his compass, didn't it? Yeah. That's what started that.
They went catching.
Yeah, you were off catching fireflies.
I fell off the wagon. Yeah.
Rob, Alpha, and Kieran decided to go. No, we'll keep moving. So she thinks that she's going in the wrong direction.
Oh, that was when we pulled over at that shrine, like almost like lay by type thing with the shrine, wasn't it?
Yeah. And you'd gone off trying to watch it, so like Ogvar was to the east, I was to the west, and then you stopped shouting, and so then they swapped over, so Kewin was now in the east and Ogvar was at the east. You'd say, well, which way am I going now?
Then Rowan wouldn't play along, would he?
No,
sport.
Rowan told her the way back.
Yay! Started to be a bit more helpful then, didn't he? And then when we reached Ironfort, well, there was the thing with the bakery, and then there was the thing in Ironfort where Kewin sold that sword and then bought it back the next day for more money.
Yeah. Well, he didn't, because he didn't realise he was going to use it. So, but it was so much better because I didn't think I'd go up a level, because you can't use it until you go up a level, because I had to change one of my feats.
Yeah, but that's kind of out of game, isn't it?
Yeah, but
I suppose.
But like I said, he wouldn't.
No.
Wouldn't realise. But then he looked into it. Ooh, yeah.
And I think the darkest moment.
But he did sharpen it.
He did get it sharpened. Let's hope it was worth the uplift. I think the darkest moment we've had was actually that emotional moment with Esther in the warehouse room on the docks, where the remains of the child.
Kids, and,
Yeah, that was a really emotional moment, that was.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I don't like that.
No,
She started physically smashing things.
Yeah, it kind of brings you back to the actual task at hand, doesn't it? Yeah. And really the dark undertones that...
We are there on a main quest. Okay, we've had a couple of side quests that have been quite major.
It is quite a dark quest, though, isn't it, really?
Yeah. We're trying to bring light into basically the world.
I get the impression we're going to have a few more of them on the way.
I mean, it's like Kewin's going to have to find a new helmet at some point.
A helmet?
Because he's getting sick and tired of the visor keep falling down at the most inappropriate time.
Yeah, I'm guessing we haven't seen the last of that yet.
No, not at all.
I mean, like now, at least, I mean, like everyone, I mean, especially when Spencer was playing Caddo, kept talking about Kewin not being very stealthy. Well, Kewin's changed all his gear.
Yeah.
And so Kewin is now only a -2 on his dexterity checks.
You see, that would mean...
But he's a +2, so that cancels it out. Whereas, if you remember, he bought himself that big fancy plate.
Yeah.
So he's something like a -8, -7. Deduct his... What's it? It's old fatty cleric that one doesn't. But then again, he never moves. He sends everybody else.
I remember the exchange when he sold that the shield with his house crest. He went in to see that shopkeeper. What was he?
Oh, the posh.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was in Drew now, wasn't it?
The randomly French guy.
The randomly French guy. You know, I mean, Drunel just spent, I suppose, just saying, you know, what we say.
Well, didn't we decide that Thraben should be like the French sounding one because there's Cadeau Chasseur and Kewin de Greymont, both from Thraben.
It's posh people from there, isn't it?
Yeah. It's all posh, yeah. Well, yeah.
And Armin de Cass.
He said,
Armin de Cass, yeah.
You know, we don't talk to people like you. You know, we don't serve people like you. And I said, what do you mean, hardworking paladins who come from a great big family house? Yes, well, yeah.
We were told we didn't look like we belonged in the in the that Selhoff's gated community.
Oh, what was the name of that dude?
There's two of them, wasn't there? There's two guards, and they were.
Oh well, yes.
Well,
when we were looking at the Axum Mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, it looks like he should be here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Did you you got any favourite bits? Before we move on to NPCs.
Honestly, there are so many favourite bits. I don't think I could pick one out.
Yeah.
I mean, there are just so many amazing bits of RP and gameplay, which as DM, you kind of turn around and you're like, hang on a minute. What? It's completely out of like left field. And you're just like, what? Where's that come from? But no, it's, there have been some absolutely amazing pieces, but I think I kind of one question I'm going to ask you lot.
Oh God!
Is out of all the NPCs you've met so far, who has been the most annoying NPC?
Annoying. Well, hang on. We've had who NPCs? We've had Armin de Cass, Colbean, Leopold, Ricky, Jeff, what was the other one called?
Ben,
yeah.
Big John.
We've had Gerhardt.
Yeah, Big Bad John.
Gerhardt, Ruth, Evit Hallowstrike. I don't like him.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
What was the name of the repulsive lord in the noble house at Drunel?
Sweaty, greasy, fat fingers.
Emmanuel
Enoch Ballantyne.
He was.
And then you got Jerome van der Tak, Esther, Florent, Callie, Robert, Sater. I mean, there's been lots and lots of NPCs.
I would say that one of the ones for Ogvar, which sort of started Ogvar down a path of ridicule, was when he met or crossed paths with Portia Bello, the mycologist.
What did you find her the most annoying?
No, I said it caused me.
Oh.
Me as a player and Ogvar as a character, a huge amount of torment.
Yeah, I didn't have her on the list. Poor Shabello, professional. So who do you think is the most annoying then?
I mean, personally, for like each of you.
Well, I can come out with most disliked.
Yeah, like most annoying, most disliked, most.
I think
that NPC who, when you think of them, you just go, oh, I just want to smack him.
Yeah, for Allura, it would be Evit Hallowstrike. He was obnoxious. He was such a chauvinist. I mean, his wife obviously had him, you know, sorted, but.
He was
really arrogant the way he put that copper on the bar and then. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
That was right from the off. Rubbed Allura up the wrong way.
I don't think. I mean, the problem is, Kewin as a character doesn't find. He would dislike that fat bloke with the rings.
Yeah.
I mean, what it will tell me the name again in a bit. But.
Enoch Ballantyne,
yeah,
wasn't it?
He would naturally have distaste for that type of person.
Yeah.
But Kewin doesn't hold grudges. It's just not in his nature. He's so happy-go-lucky.
Well, I don't know. Kewin was annoyed when he came back from that shopkeeper, that French
dude. That annoyed him, but
well, it's not.
It wasn't really. It was just a little 10-15 minute thing, but we spent a bit of time talking about that fat bloke.
Yeah, he was repulsive.
He was repulsive.
He was repulsive. Yeah, he was repulsive. Where Hallowstrike was arrogant.
Yeah.
Very different reasons. Mm. What about you?
I quite dislike the two guards in Selhoff in the gated community. I don't. Yeah, they had an answer for everything.
Was that the one that Kewin?
We tell them they had knitting needles. Yeah, those ones. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You said House de Greyman? No, never.
They were antagonistic, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like them.
They were quite threatening.
Well, not
Kewin. Also, on another side, the captain of the guard.
Oh, Van der Tak. Jerome Van der Tak.
Jerome Van der Tak.
Oh, he was brilliant.
He just didn't come up for air, did he?
No.
Oh, the bottle of dry fish duck.
But the problem, and Caddo cast a spell on a spot.
Silence. That was so funny.
But the problem was, if you walked through that spot, you could hear him again. It sounds like one of them like they do with the mics in and out.
I think the most curious NPC for me, for Allura, has got to be Sato.
Yeah.
She is intrigued by him.
Yeah.
Can't put her finger on quite what he's about. Very intriguing. Yeah. Mysterious. Moves in mysterious ways, that one.
Yeah.
He's always just there, isn't he?
Yeah,
eating a raw egg.
The smoke rings.
Yeah.
And Yaz, your description of the smoke rings and the smoke animal. I mean, your descriptions generally are, they're amazing.
Wasn't me.
those descriptions.
Oh.
Hello, we've been joined by somebody. Who are we joined by? Who's there?
My apologies, this is Rick. How are you doing?
Rick, you are in on our discussion. For our podcast listeners, this is Rick Hart, GM, Rick Rolls GM, who is currently joining us for our discussion. So, how are you today, Rick?
Very good, actually, thank you. awesome. How are you all doing?
Oh yeah, we've just been discussing our best and worst moments, you know, roles, good roles, bad roles. We're just talking about NPCs at the moment, and I was just saying to Yasmin that her descriptions are amazing. We were talking about Sato at the cathedral when he was blowing smoke rings up into the air.
All the animals.
Some amazing description along the way, which has been really great theatre of the mind. We've really enjoyed that. So I'm going to thank Yasmin for that one, because I'm also going to thank her for the amount of work that she puts into this. She's holding down a full-time job. She does all the artwork. She does all the editing, producing, you know, obviously DMs and writes. It's a lot of pressure on her. And there've been some quite stressed weekends at this end of things. But yeah, you know, try and give her as much support as we can. So yeah, publicly, thank you, Yaz. You're awesome.
Thanks, Yaz.
Really good. So there's been some great stuff. Who's everybody's favourite NPC? That's a tough one, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it depends on what stage, realistically, because, I mean, Colbin.
Oh, Colby's brilliant.
Was just fantastic. As a, you know...
Boom, geezer.
Boom, boom. It's a bit of boom. And then, but also, you've got Ruth geezer. With her ladle.
Oh, Ruth with her ladle. Ruth's brilliant. She really is jar. Vicious cookie with that jar. Ladle, isn't she?
You know, you can just picture them in your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, is Esther an NPC? Because she's on borderline between the two.
Yeah.
I think Yasmin's just playing her because she can't play. Technically, she's playing her in a different kind of way, isn't she?
But originally, it was because there were only three of us.
Yes, yeah.
And then we needed a fourth with a bit of... And of course, the way she plays her, brilliant. So,
yeah, really good.
But she's a brilliant character. But I mean, like, Kewin doesn't really get involved. I mean, you had the Porsche Bella.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
You had your lust after the...
What, the fun guy over here in the corner?
Yeah. You had your lust guy. After the vampire.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you see, yeah. But he was blonde hair, long blonde hair. He's good looking, got a thing about...
Don't really...
Yeah, but you see, Armin de Cass has got a lot. Now, Allura likes Armin.
Oh, yeah.
I've let that... I've definitely... If the podcast listeners hadn't worked that one out, she's definitely let that slip. Yeah, Allura... Allura's into Armin, definitely.
Yeah. Saying that in front of your daughter is probably
but there's something that you that Kewin kept saying. I have to say, I'm going to clear this one up now on this particular episode that we're putting out, that Armin de Cass is actually older than Allura.
Yeah.
Well, you lot were calling Laura a cougar and going on about... that one. Yeah. No, he's actually older. Is...
Well, it was... because I'm the youngest of four.
Yeah.
And he, if I remember, knew my oldest brothers.
Yes.
The two older brothers.
Yeah.
He probably knows Casper as well.
Yeah.
He would have been. Yeah. He would have been close with Casper, with being the third son and Casper being the third son. So there would be a close association, but he would be older than Casper, more kind of second brother's age. Yeah.
I think from memory, I think you said that late 30s, possibly early 40s. So yeah, it's a little bit.
I'm about 24, so you need probably about 4 years between me. Yeah. So you'd be mid to late 30s. How old's Laura?
She's 34.
Oh, is she? Yeah. I thought she was older than that.
Here we go again. this is gonna. You know that throwdown on the doorstep of the guild in. In the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be worse than that.
She's going to flame your ass like she did that lettuce.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's all right. I mean, like, she's already... I mean, if you remember, she got me... She spiked me drink.
Yeah.
So Cuban will no longer drink a certain type of drink. Because he thinks it was because of the drink. Not because he still doesn't know that she spiked it.
Oh dear. Talking about being drunk, Esther's alcohol consumption.
Oh wow. She can pack that away, can't she?
And not only that, oh god, what was her name?
Arvis. Arvis.
Trying to get her up the stairs while she was vomiting.
Oh no. Oh, she was a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was good.
This is what I like. You know, Allura wanted to get her upstairs, but once she got her upstairs, that was it. She wanted nothing more to do with
it. Yes, but this allowed Ogvar to show his gentlemanly side, didn't it?
He got his mug back in the end.
He got his mug back. Was that the one that Allura bought you in Gamerest? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, with the shopkeepers, yeah.
So I think that probably brings us quite nicely on to the question of what is your favourite item so far in the game?
Oh my god, there's a question. Oh, favourite item.
I mean, personally, my favourite item was the Ring of Invisibility, which was a spin-off from your suggestion, Rick, with the Ring of Invisibility. Have a little twist on it.
I was going to say that, actually. That was my favourite item as well, so I'm so glad.
It was his fault, was it? Now we know.
Yeah. I wasn't going to actually give you a Ring of Invisibility. Come on.
Well, there's always hope.
A suspiciously cheap Ring of...
I know. It was good, wasn't it? I like Sato's Ladder. I think the ladder's a really cool item. I mean, the choice that we were given when Ruth and Gerhardt said to pick.
Yeah.
The choice that we were given. That list. Where do you even start?
Yeah, I mean, it's... See, this is the way I mean, I mean, you know, I struggle picking stuff and
who doesn't?
Blah blah. But Kewin's not into magical things, sort of thing. So, you know.
Well, could you not pick something and then give it to Allura, please?
No, because he did actually think, he did get the wand to help him against magic, because, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like. I tried to keep him as a quite play. He sees something. Is it friend or foe? Oh, no, it's foe. I'm going to hit it. It's very, very simple.
Kewin's simple, apparently.
It is. It is. He has a very, very happy-go-lucky way of life. He doesn't, you know, it's like when we were on the wagons. Kewin was sat facing Ogvar's and Caddo's, what's it, swinging his legs, going to himself. You know, he was just in his own world.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a magical item, like Ogvar's percolator.
Oh,
that is such a key item. That is like a core item.
Yes, and Allura bought him coffee to go with it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like you mentioned earlier about the spit. You know, Allura went off looking everywhere for trying to get some sticks to make a spit. Couldn't find anything. Kewin goes looking and comes back with a fully collapsible spit.
Oh, no. Just going slightly off Yasmin's question there, just something's just popped up in my memory. It's like, you got done over for that goat, mate.
Oh, yeah. 100%, yeah.
That was brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. Goat on the menu. What was it? How much did they give you for that goat?
I think it cost more for one of their meals.
Was it one gold?
It actually
I think I got one gold piece for it.
Yeah, and I think the meals were one gold piece each or something, weren't they? That was good. Anyway, back to DM's question. I don't know. I think the eye that Allura has is a really cool item. Very useful, cool item, and probably one of the most helpful items for Allura is actually her green pink ironstone.
Mm.
To be fair, that's quite cool.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Kewin doesn't really. He upgrades his armour, it's natural. He's got the diamond that takes some of the whack. But he doesn't really. I mean, like, I'd love to know what that green gem
wouldn't
Royals
we all,
does.
Wouldn't we all?
Taken it to see everybody.
have you got a favourite item?
I'll tell you, Ogvar's favourite item, one that's still got a lot of potential left in it, is the Rope of Stone.
It's a
non-combat item, but it could be. Just got loads of ideas of how to use it in different situations.
It's quite versatile, isn't
it? Yeah.
Like we said earlier, he rippled it to get into the.
That was clever.
That was, and then also when we were fighting the crocodile.
Yeah. That was just intelligent use of an item, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? With D&D, you have all these items, and you know if you can work with somebody else to actually use. Multiple items or combine spells where you've got two spellcasters. That's clever play.
Yeah, it doesn't happen to us very often though, does it?
No, it takes time and you have to have the right situation. And but I've always said it, you know, it's like look through your inventory, look through your backpack and, you know, look at what you've got. Having said that, there's loads of stuff that I've got that I perhaps could have used and haven't so far.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Have you got a favourite, Yaz?
The Ring of Invisibility. I mean, I loved that. I mean, I can say that because I made it. But no, I think there are so many items. I mean, the items that you used, and I mean, I like the animated armour. In Axum's house.
Our biggest problem is animated objects.
And then a fiasco with a mimic after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, some of air. Some people had a problem.
Yeah.
Well, hang on a minute. I was busy. Laura was busy opening the chest. I mean, the first one went all right.
Yeah.
You know.
How many eyebrows were lost?
Three. Three eyebrows. Correctly. That was good.
You were also the first one to get wrapped up by the.
Yeah.
Couldn't get you out.
Yeah. for some reason, it's just. I just seem to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or it seems to happen to Laura. But, you know, at the end of the day, she's coming into her own now, isn't she?
Yeah, she's got getting the power.
Yeah, she figured out how to cast the spell.
Yeah, that was a thing, wasn't it?
Oh, the defenestrating sphere, yeah. That's a great spell. That guy, he goes 80 foot. And go, oh, look, he's level with the top of the tower. Hello! Brilliant.
And I've got to lay this out. What absolutely brilliant idea to put a bucket on your head to increase your AC.
That wasn't the plan.
Q-in has an actual helmet that, okay, admittedly the visor keeps coming down on it, but all of a sudden he puts a bucket on its head. Not only does it protect his head, but he also gets an extra one.
Yeah, but
to his armour class.
Improvising. Yeah. The thing is, you get rewards for improvisation, don't you? That's the thing, intelligent play.
Ogbar put the bucket on the end of his bow and moved it around, and no one had shot at it. So the theory was, if it's on my head, no one's going to shoot at that.
Yeah. And in that, going back and forth, up and down, then piggy town.
How many rounds of combat did you get through before you got anywhere?
Yeah, don't actually come up with. Oh, you with me now? Why don't you go and take these back down? Right, okay. So back down and then back up to the other tower, and then, oh, what do I do? Well, you've got everything sorted here. I'll run back down. It's like, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
I run to the front door. Oh, now I run to the back door. There's something coming from the crypt. I'll go down the crypt.
Oh yeah, well the bisecting of that dire rat person, whatever it was, I don't know. That was interesting. The dissection of that ratty person. Mm. You and Roman, that was good. So, Rick, seeing as you're lurking in the background, have you got any particular favourites?
Items?
Anything really? Items? I mean, have you got a favourite item?
Well, the Ring of Invisibility definitely tickled me a little bit when I heard Yad say that out loud. I knew immediately that something was up, so that was great when that went through. I kind of have to repeat the things you said, because the moments for me are things like when the guy got thrown up towards the top of the tower, that brief moment where in my head it's like a cartoon moment, you see the character go up just below the window, waves ever so briefly, and then falls. That sort of thing really gets me, and I absolutely love moments like that. Those are the highlights when you're role playing, aren't they?
Yeah, classic. You just do get these things happen, and you just couldn't write it, could you really?
No.
It's funny where the dice take you.
Oh yeah. It's when things go very right or very wrong that makes the best bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, theoretically, we joined together with two people to clear out lighthouse, sort of got back.
Oh.
And
I got my.
Didn't really even bother looking for the other party.
I got my ass fried in that lighthouse.
My absolute favourite player gaff was Paran with Gala. The room, there was all the furniture's pushed to the outside of the room. I'm going to walk straight across the middle. Are you sure about that? No, I'm going to walk straight across the middle.
Yeah, but that he really annoyed Laura. He was so cheeky. What was it? He said something about, what's taking you so long or something. So I just dropped the bloody rope back down again. I thought, you know what, drop the net down. Just leave him under there. He's out of trouble.
He lost his clothes. He lost his sword.
Yeah.
To the ooze in the
Melted.
To the ooze, yeah.
Got melted, didn't it?
And he had a, was it the pink cape or something from the one cultist?
Yes.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, because we had to try and sort of put some clothes back on him, and I gave him one of my...
Did you take him on a shopping trip?
I was going to, but if you remember, before we got back,
yeah,
he disappeared, but I gave him, I don't know, battle axe or something like that, one of my spare weapons. Because, I mean, let's face it, Cubans are basically a walking arsenal.
If you want any spares, Cubans, your man.
Another good thing about the lighthouse, we went up to the top and then we were teleported out into the drunken mire, and then a moment of realisation, Pickles tied up outside the lighthouse.
Yeah. Left the dog at the lighthouse, yeah.
It's like, oh yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why we have to go back rather than go forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, funny. Right, well, I guess that probably... I think we're going to have to bring that probably to a close. I think we're coming up to an hour on this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it just leaves us to say thank you very much to all our listeners for supporting us, for downloading, for rating, for just turning up every week to listen to our yarn. Considering this was supposed to be like a 20 episode or something like that, just a short adventure, this has turned into an absolute epic, and this is just nowhere near its conclusion. I have no idea how far this will go, how much longer this will go, but we'll keep turning up, we'll keep playing the characters, and hopefully all you guys out there will keep turning up and keep enjoying it.
Yeah. And we can say there are some various twists and turns and gaffes to come.
Yes, because we are actually several, I think we're a fair few episodes ahead, so we know where we are. You don't. Ha ha. Yeah, so I guess that kind of wraps it up. So from me, Sam, Alora, I'm going to say thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us every week. You absolute troopers. Stick with us. Stick with the yarn. Enjoy it. You know, comment on our Facebook page. We love to hear from people. Over to you, Ryan.
Yeah, just thank you for all the guys who listen week in, week out, and contact us via Facebook and the other social medias. And yeah, just we haven't even started to scratch the surface yet, so keep listening.
Yeah, it's been great fun, and it is great fun to do it. We're just glad that people enjoy it. I mean, there have been times of actual tears of laughter where we've had to take a break. But it'd be nice to see you all again, or hear you from you all. And as Q would say, doodle pit!
Last word from you, Yaz, maybe?
Yeah, thank you everyone for listening. It's a real labour of love. I think we're all very deeply invested in our various characters and the story. And yeah, we'll see you in the next episode.
And thanks for joining us, Rick.
Sorry I couldn't make it earlier.
No, that's fine. We got it. It's nice of you to drop in.
Glad I could.
So, right, we'll catch up with all of you, or certainly our characters will, in episode 100. Thanks for listening. Bye!
Bye! Bye.